Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 13. The beast I saw was likened to a leopard. This is verse 2. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. That's what we're going to be dealing with. And when I was when I sat down and started recording here, my Bible was opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I thought, well, that's not where I want to be. I need to be in Revelation 13. And all of a sudden, you know, connections are made in my mind. Wires are being connected. The Holy Ghost is comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And you think about it. 1 Corinthians 13 has 13 verses in it. The number 13, and it was probably open because I'm dealing with this in the Watchman broadcast. The idea of the number 13 and what it means. It has the idea of either true love or harlot love. And if you think of 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long and is kind. Think of God. God envieth not. God vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. So that's God's pure love there. It doesn't seek its own. It seeks the benefit and the blessing of those that are loved. In contrast to that, and this is what was in my mind, in contrast to that, we have people who are going to ask for a ruler to rule over them, and he's going to be a beast. And he's not going to be like God's love. He's not going to be that way. He's going to be mean, cruel, vicious. He's going to rip them to shreds. He's going to seek his own. He's going to puff himself up, just like an animal does when it feels threatened or it wants to put you in fear. They'll haunch their back. Bristles will come up on their back. The serpent, the cobra, his neck will expand out like that. It's an idea of making itself bigger than what it really is, and we know that that's what the devil likes to do. A lot of times he likes to make little things into big things. Think of marital arguments. They're usually little things that turn into big things. Or anything like that. Church arguments. Usually little things that turn into big things. That's that spirit of the beast. And this spirit, this beast spirit here is not like God. He does not love your... I love you. Your dog and cat doesn't love you the way you love it. They don't. If you die in your house, they will eat you. Okay? You wouldn't eat your dog or your cat. Hopefully. But anyway, this beast is mean. He's cruel. He's vicious. He is... It mentions here the feet of a bear, and as I was studying this out, I decided to put that aspect over with the lion and his mouth, because that's what we're going to study the next week. But the feet of the bear, think about what a bear's paws have on them. Have these razor sharp spike nails that when a bear does this, he'll just rip and tear things to shreds. So I was looking at this idea of things that are torn as I was putting this together, and I'm going to leave that with the lion's mouth because the lion's mouth does the same thing. And you'll see there are several places here in my notes that you're going to see a similarity between the lion and the bear. Think about it. So let me finish reading this. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. Why? Because he has spots, and he's a watching spirit. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have a picture of this. God draws pictures of his doctrine. He draws pictures of his prophecies so that you and I can go, there's a picture of it right there in the scriptures. 1 Samuel 17 is the picture of this beast. In verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Think of who David is. He's keeping his father's sheep. He is the good shepherd. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. You know who I think that is? I think that's Israel. Think of the 90 and 9. Think of the shepherd who leaves the 90 and 9 and goes after the one lost sheep. Jesus said, I go not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I think this lamb is Israel. Maybe wrong, but that's kind of just what I think. But he took a lamb out of the flock. And we know that right now the Jews are in such, they are in the mouth of the lion. They cannot escape. They have such a horrible spirit about them. And I'm talking about God's chosen people. I love them. And you should bless them. Bless your enemies. But they are enemies of the gospel. Paul said so. Doesn't mean we should hate them. It means we should pray for them and pray for their peace and pray that God will do. But Paul prayed for them. They were his people. His prayer was that Israel would be saved. And so here is the shepherd, and he sees the lamb in the mouth of the lion and the bear. And it says, I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth when he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Here's a bear coming in, and Mike Hoggard's going, ah, run! Okay, you lambs, run! David, and I'll tell you what overrides fear. You know what overrides fear? Anger. When you've had enough, you're not afraid anymore. And think of the spiritual issues that you deal with. Think of the ways that the lion and the bear attack you and start trying to devour things in your life, your marriage, your finances, your Bible reading, your testimony, your things in your personal life are in the mouth of a bear right now. And here comes the shepherd, David. And he goes over, he sees his father's lamb. And he looks at that bear, and he doesn't have fear. He's got anger. How dare you? David was angry at Goliath. He was afraid of Goliath. He was ticked off. Who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Who is this guy? I won't take thine head from off thy shoulders this day. It didn't sound like he was afraid. He was angry. He had had enough. And I'll tell you something, when you've had enough, when you get good and angry at the devil, you'll run him off. You'll do exactly what David went over there and grabbed, I can just see him grabbing jumping on the back of this thing, grabbing the jaws, saving the lamb's life, and then took the lion or the bear by the beard, began to wail on him and beat on him and smote him, caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I killed him. How dare you come in to my father's sheepfold and steal one of my father's sheep? Boy, that's zeal. That is zeal. There's been times as a husband and a father, I've had to go after some bears and some lions. How dare you try to come into my family and steal one of my little lambs? How dare you do that? There's nothing wrong with that. And I've had to do it as pastor too. At the expense, I'd like my reputation of being soft and easygoing and carefree and things like that. I try to guard that. I don't ever want the reputation. That's the fighting pastor there. I don't like that. I don't want that. But at the expense of my own reputation, I've had to take some people and say, how dare you come in here and try to steal God's sheep away from this place? How dare you do that? Now, I've had to get pretty mean about some issues and about some things. But I'm going to tell you what, these bears, you're going to see as we get into the study, you can't reason with them. You can't reason with them. They won't listen. And I'll show you that in a little bit. You know what their mind is? It's chafed, and I'll show you that. Anyway, verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. See that word as there in verse 36? What very, very important word in the Bible, as. As it was in the days of Noah, as Lot, as Jonas, as this, as that. When this is as that, then you have a biblical match, you have a comparison. God is saying, if you see this giant here, he's as a lion and a bear. And pay attention to this story now, because there's going to be some prophetic truths. That which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. So what you see in the Old Testament, you're going to see again in the last days. So he shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. There it is right there. The paw of the bear. That's what John saw here, was the feet as the feet of a bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. And he was. And the idea of this story is that the shepherd beat the giant. Beat him. Giant never even got off a shot. All he did was mouth a lot. And David said, I've fought things like this before. I'm not afraid. I'm going to put a stone in a sling and I'm going to let God send it through the air. I mean, that was in his mind. So we get this understanding. Here's this giant. So study giants. They represent the nation of the Antichrist or the kingdom of the Antichrist, and just kind of go with that idea. But that's who Saul represents. Proverbs 28:15, as a roaring lion. Now think about Jesus in Revelation 5. Jesus is a roaring lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation 10, he roars as a lion roareth. So think of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What is the meaning here? What is the Bible trying to tell you? I think that everybody is going to think that that's Jesus. He's a roaring lion. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. I can tell you, you study a little bit of politics, and no matter what country you're in, and you will see that there are different political ideas that seek to use poor people as a political tool. Communism did it. Socialism does it. You'll see it being used in America right now. Poor people are being used as a political tool, but they're not being helped. As a roaring lion and a raging bear. A raging bear is just like the lion, as your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking how? To and fro. You know what a raging bear does? He's walking throughout a territory. What's he looking for? He's looking for food. He's looking for enemies. He's looking for things to destroy and to devour. And that's our enemy. The enemy doesn't sit still here. He's going to find you. He's going to keep looking for things that he can destroy in your life. And if you get victory over him one day, he's coming back. He's not just going to go, oh, well, I can't touch him. He's going to come back. Why? He's chafed in his mind. He has a beast nature about him, and he's not going to give up until the shepherd says, I've had enough. I'm going to kill him. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Think of the cruel messenger. You know what a messenger is? That's an angel. That's a spirit. The angel of the bottomless pit, Revelation 9:11. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Think of Christ, who is for us. He is a messenger of God. He came with his Father's words to deliver to his people, and he is for us. All right? But the evil man seeking rebellion, a cruel messenger is going to be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Now it mentions a bear robbed of her whelps. Her whelps are her little cubs. And God designed a she-bear that if you steal her cubs or threaten to harm her cubs, her mind turns in such a way where she will not be afraid of anybody, and she'll tear and destroy. God designed her that way to give us this idea of how this beast is going to be. I mentioned this Sunday morning. I was watching Alaska State Troopers. I like shows like that. And this forest ranger, game warden, we call him in Missouri, up in Alaska, it was moose season, and he knew there were some moose hunters up there. And up on the mountain, he had to get out of his truck, off his four-wheeler. He had to walk a mile up this mountain. As he's walking through these woods, he's whistling. And he's making lots of noise, and he's explaining to the camera, he said, there's bears, there's grizzlies all around here. And he said, Grizz, if Grizz hears you coming, they'll run, because God put fear in them of man. If they are warned in advance that the man is coming, he said they'll run off. But he said, if you try to be quiet and you walk through here, you're going to walk right through a bear den. And when you startle them, they're going to tear you up. So that's what he was doing. But in this, and so for the most part, bears, when they are warned of your presence, unless they're really, really hungry, they will run, they will leave. Unless you take their cubs, unless you hurt their cubs or threaten their cubs. And then she's not running. Her anger and her fierceness and her wrath in that she bear is going to be unstoppable. And you just ponder this and think of the depths of what this really means. This leader, this cruel authority leader, he's not some savvy politician like what's in the Left Behind series. He's not. He is a beast. And this is how he's going to operate. He cannot be reasoned with. 2 Samuel 17, verse 8. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Chafed in their minds. You know, he's describing here some people that they are mighty men. Think of what Genesis 6 says, mighty men of old, men of renown. They are mighty men and they're chafed in their minds, which means that you cannot reason with them. You cannot say, oh, no, don't hurt those people over there. Don't you feel sad and sorry for them? Rawr. No, they don't. This is this cruel authority, this wicked leader that's coming over mankind. And mankind is begging for this leader to come. Mankind right now is begging and wanting anybody except Jesus Christ. You know why they don't want Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ will say, come out of your sin. Come out of Babylon. Whereas this beast says, go ahead and sin. Matters not to me. I'm going to destroy you either way. And so people would rather be destroyed and keep their sin. Think about this. Think about what if the United Nations came out and announced that an asteroid as big as the moon was barreling toward planet Earth. We had 72 hours and the whole Earth was going to be destroyed in a matter of seconds. And there's no way to stop it. There's nothing we can do about it. This planet is going to be basically broken in pieces in 72 hours. What do you think most people are going to do? They're going to get as much alcohol, as much drugs, and as much you know what in 72 hours. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. That's exactly the mindset of most people in this world right now. All right? So when being given the option that they're, or the idea that they're going to be destroyed, oh, really? If all I got 72 hours to live, then I'm going to make the best of it, buddy. That's them. That is this world right now. They have no regard toward God or repentance. They're not going in their minds, well, you know, boy, I think I'm probably going to go to hell. God, will you save me from that? Nobody's going to do that. Very few. But that's chafed in their minds. This beast is not going to be reckoned with. He's not going to be reasoned. He is mean and vicious and cruel, and that's all there is to it. 2 Kings chapter 2. This is I want you to get this imagery here. This is Elisha. He is the Word of God. That's what the prophets were of the Old Testament. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto our fathers by his servants the prophets. The prophets were the Word of God. They were the Bibles. That's who the prophets were. They were a type of Jesus Christ, the prophet, and they were a picture or a type of the written word of God. And so here you have a generation of young people who mock the word of God. 2 Kings 2:23, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. They were making fun of him. They were mocking him. What they were doing is mocking the word of God. And this is this generation right now. You start giving them Bible verses, They mock, they scorn, they laugh, they don't want to hear it. They turn their back to it. And so here's what God is just offering: eternal life to them. That's all he's doing, offering salvation. So they mock. So here's what the man of God did. And he turned back, this is Elisha, and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. You know what that means? They're not saved. They're not blessed. They're cursed. Cursed them in the name of the Lord, and there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. That is exactly the number given to us in verse 5. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Here these two she-bears come out of the wood, and they tear 42 children of them. The number 2 here indicates the times of the Gentiles, 2 days, 2,000 years, two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. God offers the Gentile world two simple commandments, and they don't want anything to do with it. He offers them the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, the first and second coming of Christ. He offers that, and they don't want it. So God sends forth the she-bear bereaved of her cubs and destroys 42 of these children. That is a picture, Revelation 13:2, Revelation 13:5. And what was their, why were they cursed? Hate the Bible. They hate the Word of God. Hosea 13, verse 1. You're going to see God's plan here. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Think of Ephraim. When he's humble, he is exalted in Israel. When he offends in Baal, he dies. And now they sin more and more, and they have made molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves, these golden idols they were making, worshiping Baal, the bull, the beast. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that... I got to stop right here. You know what the dew is a type of in the Scriptures? It's a type of doctrine. It's a type of God's Word. And Ephraim, who is building idols and falling in bed with the Vatican, that's, I think, all these churches, their dew passes away. You know what that means? Their doctrine is vanity. Their words are vain. They pass away. They are not the everlasting words of God, the incorruptible words of God. So as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, think of what John the Baptist said about Christ, whose fan is in his hand. He's thoroughly purging the floor of his garner. Think of when Ruth went to Boaz. What was he doing? He's fanning his barley. He's winnowing. Okay? Think of the whirlwind. God speaketh out of the whirlwind. The chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney. By the way, chaff represents the flesh. It is the outer shell. What happens to the chaff? It's burnt with unquenchable fire. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastures, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. And boy, isn't that the case. When we've got plenty, we forget God. I have. But it's when we start having to do without. That's when we start praying. Therefore, verse 7, I will be unto them, listen to what God said, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. There it is again, that chafed in his mind. And will rend the call of their heart. You know what that is? That's the pericardium around the heart. He's going to rip that sac, and seawater is going to come out like out of a womb, like with Christ on the cross. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. So isn't that interesting? In Hosea 13, you have the leopard, the bear, the lion, and a wild beast tearing them. You have the four, almost identical to what you have in Revelation 13. And God said, I will be unto them as a lion. You know what I think that means? I think that means they're going to be worshiping this beast, thinking that it's Jehovah, that it's God. That's what they're going to be doing. Because they have forsaken the Word of God and they cannot properly identify who God really is and who Christ is, who the Messiah is, because they cannot do that, they're going to be worshiping this beast and thinking it's God. Is that out of sorts with the Scripture? No. Ezekiel 28, 2 Thessalonians 2, he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So I think that this is indicative of people of the earth, especially Ephraim, Israel, worshiping this beast, thinking that they're worshiping God, and they're not. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king, where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. Think of 1 Thessalonians 5. The day of the Lord so cometh, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. You connect that with Isaiah 13. Other places, think of John 16. He said, you have in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have sorrow. But he said, think of a woman who is, when she's giving birth, she's in sorrow. She's in pain. But then that baby's born. And as soon as the baby is born, all that pain is forgotten. It's gone away. Boy, think of that. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. I think if you look at this, I think God's going to give salvation and repentance. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. I think God's going to save Israel and curse the entire rest of the world. And he said, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. There'd be no repenting then. Now, here is Isaiah 59. Go ahead and turn there. We're going to look at 15 verses out of Isaiah 59. This is the consequence and spiritual condition of those of whom the bear overtakes. This is why God sends the bear after them. He says in verse 1, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I believe God has hands and ears. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You ever heard preachers say that? They were telling you the truth. Sin separates us. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Think of in practical areas of life. You can be friends with somebody. You can have be having a good day with your wife or your husband. But as soon as you do or say something stupid and you hurt them, that needs to be gotten out of the way, because it's in the way. There are things that get in the way of good relationships. All right. But anyway, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. That's these preachers with a bed up on the stage talking about dirty things, saying, God wants you to have this. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief. That's a birthing term, isn't it? And bring forth iniquity. Did you hear it? They conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. You know who that is? That's the man of sin being born. That's Ichabod. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Have you ever seen like any of the cult symbols of the egg? The world egg with the serpent wrapped around it. All right? The egg, did you know the earth is actually egg-shaped? It's not a perfect round circle like the globes we have. It's more egg-shaped. The idea of an egg is that there's something hidden on the inside of it that is going to break forth through the sea that's between the yolk and the outer shell of the egg. That's what the occult symbol of the egg represents. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spiders' internet. I just thought I'd throw that in there. weave the spider's web. And isn't that true? What's happening? What is happening all over the world right now? People are being caught in the web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Don't you bust that egg, guess what's in there? Snake. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Think of man trying to cover his own sin, his own nakedness with his own works and his own doings. It doesn't work. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Abortions. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths instead of straight. We follow the straight paths. The true way to Jesus Christ. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. But they made crooked paths. You know what that is? They went to the church. The church decided to put in a prayer maze in the backyard of the church. And so you go and walk through the 11 stations of confusion on the prayer maze till you get to the center point, and that's where you're going to find, you know, in the heart of the earth, in the middle of the egg, that's where you're going to find your true God down in there. That's what that is. They made crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears. You know what that means? That they have the spirit of the beast in them. Let me give you something. I think about this a lot. When God said that there was going to be a nation and a king whose tongue they wouldn't understand. Think of animals. Animals have a language that we don't understand. When they several years ago, when they first recorded whale song, that these biologists and these cetaceologists, whatever, that studied whales, they were listening to this and they were just stunned at hearing these whales sing to one another. They said, what does it mean? We don't know. Bears roar. Dogs bark. Birds tweet. We know they're saying something. We just don't know what they're saying. This movie, I had this idea of this movie back in the 80s called Beastmaster. And I remember watching that. And it was a guy who could speak the language of beasts. He understood the secret language. Anyway, they're going to roar like bears. And I think that means they're going to have a spirit in them of the Antichrist. Remember, he is God, sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, means you don't have Bible verses in your heart, so you tell lies. And judgment is turned away backward. Think about that. Think of everything that falls backwards. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. But the key part of this is they roar all like bears. Who does? The people who are in darkness, it's just like they had no eyes. They are in desolate places as dead men. Think of where Legion liked to live. He lived in desolate places like dead men. He lived in the tombs, in the catacombs. Crooked paths, all of these things. Study, this chapter is full of what you and I are seeing in this world right now. And we can see that this world is being set up to receive the spirit of the bear in them. Those of you who are of Native American or First Nations descent, you have probably been told stories or have seen religious rituals handed down from the elders, from the ancestors, where you're going to take in your spirit, and some of these are a spirit of a bear. Not good. That's not good. Mm-mm. No, walk away from that stuff. Walk away from it and just stick with the God of this. I don't care what pride you have in your nation or what pride you have in your ancestry. Revelation chapter 7, all of the nations gathered around the throne of Jesus Christ, and they're saying salvation. They're singing salvation to the Savior because they walked away from all the old wicked stuff and all the old pagan stuff, and all the old traditions of the elders. They walked away from that stuff. Anyway, they all roar like bears. Chicago Bears, right? Anyway, that's the bear, and we're going to get into... I do have one verse here, and when I was looking at it, I just stopped. Job 16:9, he teareth me in his wrath, he who hateth me, he gnasheth upon me with his teeth, mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me, he teareth me in his wrath. That's what the paws of a bear do. They just shred and tear apart, and they rip apart so they can consume and devour. That's what they do. And we're gonna look at that part of it when we deal with the lion's teeth and the lion's mouth, all right? Good to be with you today. God bless you. Stay in the Word. Stay in this book. Read it cover to cover. Study it. Learn it. Memorize it. Believe everything that it says, and God's going to bless you in it. All right? This is Pastor Mike, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.